like when we talked about earlier with the MIT and the granular synthesis. By reducing everything to a fundamental tone, it's almost like, and I don't want to say a version of brainwashing, but a lot of people believe that everyone's subconscious works on a different tone, and that those tones can be connected and can be triggered via different tones to frequencies. That's, I guess, the better word that I'm looking for. And so this really turned out, by the time we got done with it, turned into more of an experiment into that than I think anything.
Yeah,
that helps. It's very difficult to explain.
Sort of like it punches through your consciousness and kind of gets to your subconscious and almost your primitive,
exactly.
The stuff that's ingrained and
exactly.
Taps it into a certain taps it into a certain primitive emotion.
Exactly.
Okay.
Everyone has a series of fundamental emotions, and that goes all the way back to the basic need of survival, and it has evolved through all the generations and generations. As much as, you know, Cro-Magnon man or any of the other, you know, cavemen, I guess you could say, who had the basic need was survival and, you know, to avoid extinction, those are still, all those emotions and all those fundamentals are still with us. It's just a matter of being able to tap back into them. And I think if you're able to do that successfully, then you're able, you know, to avoid pressures and all the stress and all the, you know, to be able to get back to one's individual self would relieve a lot of the daily, you know, hassles that people go through.
Yeah. Now, it also says that you're doing some projects about sound with architecture.
Well, you know, that's always been one of my sort of fantasies with music or sonic architecture is almost any time I look at a architectural, you know, a piece of architecture, I try to visualize what it would sound like as far as a sound or maybe music. You know, I think my ultimate high would be to, say, have an architect doing a skyscraper in Metro City to, you know, maybe contact us to do, a piece of music for a lobby or music for planetariums even, you know, anything. I just think I spend a lot of time trying to figure out what a architectural structure would sound like. You know,
most architects try to touch on the senses as much as they can. In a lot of cases, it's neither through sculpture, through paintings, and that's the visual end. I think by doing audio architecture or creating tapestries of sounds and things, it just would be one more facet to be able to connect with a person to tie a whole project together, you know, both sight, sound, smell, to invoke as many of the senses as possible.
That would be interesting to see an album of songs with like the Empire State Building theme or the, you know, the World Trade Center theme.
Mm-hmm.
That would be kind of interesting. Maybe one way to do it would be to program a computer to bounce to make it sound like the sounds are bouncing off of the walls and the pattern that the walls are in that architecture or something
exactly.
Like that.
We've been toying with the idea of putting together a CD of very short pieces, maybe 30 to 50, that all end and begin in such a way that a CD player could, say, for instance, play it in random mode and skip all over the disc itself and actually, you know, one piece would end the way the next piece would begin, and they would all kind of fit together in a coherent sort of a pattern, you know, and it would play constantly, yet constantly also be shifting and changing, and it would never sound the same twice. You know, that's kind of like interactive music.
Yes. Make it more.
Is working in an audio field, I know they make equipment which, for background music, that depending on the ambience of the room, it senses whether to turn the music up or turn the music down. There's nothing worse than being in a room and you're trying to talk and the elevator music or whatever is too loud, so you're talking over it. It actually senses the amount of ambient the decibels ambient wise and adjust itself.
Yeah, why not take that another step further and actually have a device that can, you know, sense whether it's dark in a room or light in a room or the amount of traffic in a room and sort of alter the you know, sonic sculptures in that space accordingly.
I think one of the biggest things were to be, if you were to design a building and want to use an audio facet to it, is that it would have to be at the very, at the same way as drawing up all the plans, making all the arrangements, that would have to be a big part of it too. What kind of an environment are you trying to make per which part of the building are you in? If it's more of a relaxing, atmospheric kind of, either like an inner little pond or trees or whatever, more of an interior park setting, then your sound would want to be different as well. And that goes right back into, like we talked about earlier, of music on a subconscious level, that a person would feel more relaxed being in this environment, not only because of the sights, but also because of the sounds.
Yes. Also, I'm looking here, it says that you did some, that Chris did some location recording with, and some paranormal research recordings of the dead.
Well, I've been into paranormal research for years, and individuals like Dr. Harold Sherman or Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, people who all believe that there is another level of consciousness, and when one passes on, they enter that level. And the idea is to be able to bring those two levels together, almost like, let me think what would be a good way to explain it. Almost like a deja vu, I've done this before, I've been here before, kind of the spiral theory that we keep repeating our life over and over again until we reach, you know, what one would consider to be either perfection, to enter, you know, another level, or neither downward, if that's the way you would constantly be repeating your life. I very wholeheartedly believe in the paranormal. I believe in things not occultic, but I believe that there are such things as ghosts. For one reason or another, are still tied to this level, to this plateau that we're on now, and not able to completely cross over. And in the same way, some who have crossed over still have a strong enough will to be able to touch and communicate with those who are still alive. Rod and I have gone into a lot of what we would consider, and others, either, you know, reports of circumstances, highly charged areas. And we set up a lot of digital recording equipment to see if there's anything that, you know, anything comes up. What most people believe, and would be like Hans Holzer believes, is that by presenting an electronic medium, if any other spirits or anything, it's like a doorway to be able to allow them to cross over through the electronic medium. Analog is being one of the, for me, being one of the best, you know, uses of that, because it's all done with current. It's not like the digital where it's, you know, a picture or a sample of this or that. You're actually using envelopes, generators to be a current, to supply whatever sounds you're going to be needing or whatever. And so we've always, when Rod and I have gone in and done our any of our recordings, I've always made sure to use strictly analog equipment, something that works on an electronic basis, via if there's anything out there that wants to either communicate or, you know, let itself be known, has an easier way through the electricity.
So you've set up in, do you have any interesting stories of like a haunted house or?
Last summer there's a park that's north from us. We live pretty close to Lake Huron. In fact, Rod lives on Lake Huron. Where you've called here is the town called Marysville, and it's south more of Lake Huron. Rod lives in Port Sanilac, which is actually up by Lake, or behind Lake Huron. And there's a park up there called Forrester Park, which, was it during the 20s when the fire?
Yeah, there was a big fire.
There was a huge peat fire. And what essentially happened was, is when the fire started spreading, it was during a drought season, a lot of people started running towards the lake to try to get into it. There was a huge ditch that they had to cross under. And when they got crossing the ditch, falling into this water, which inadvertently happened to be extremely hot. A lot of people lost their lives. Well, Rod and I, there had always been rumors about, well, you hear voices and strange lights up at Forester Park. So Rod and I last summer went out, set up our equipment, and on each side of this very long ditch, set up some equipment, some digital as well as analog equipment. Basically went away for about 2 hours,
yeah.
I think it was. And when we came back, you know, checked everything was fine, took it all back, brought the tapes back to the studio, and literally sat and listened to the tapes for 2 hours. And about probably an hour and a half after we had left, what you would hear on the tape were the natural environmental sounds, crickets, a little bit of the breeze. Well, all of a sudden it would be like, this is turning into like electrical current. And it was almost like taking, I don't want to say like a razor or something, but it was passing in the stereo field between one end to the other of this ditch, just going between, which there was no one out there. It lasted for about 10, 15 minutes, which is exactly around the time via the count of the tape when supposedly PPC all that. So we don't say that's what it was, but we've still yet to be able to find an actual cause of what it was. And we've gone other places, haunted, houses that are supposedly haunted. And I guess a lot of people, a lot of your listeners will probably say, well, if you listen to something long enough, you'll hear what you want to hear. There are some things actually on the CD which were what I consider to be voices of the dead that we actually captured on tape and then used back in our project. Whether they are or they not, I believe that they are because of the circumstances, because of the, Rod's really into photography, and whenever we go out on these projects, he always shoots infrared, and has always captured, at times when something's turned up on my tape, we usually will have some sort of unexplainable phenomenon turns up on his film.
What, do you know what track that you, what, some of the track numbers?
Well, it would be, let me think.
I don't know. We kind of view this as one long piece. It was. There were tracks Marcus put on the CD. I think it's 5 or 6, anyway.
Okay.
But could be 7. Let's say 6 or 7.
Okay. Yeah, I'll note that down.
Listen close.
And let's see. Is there anything else? Is there anything else really that you have to say?
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to be able to set up and do this with us. I feel good knowing the fact that Silent's getting a distribution up in Alaska. Sometimes we've been having some problems here in Michigan with some of the distribution. Some places who really wanted to be able to get it haven't been able to get a hold of it. And whether that, hopefully that's a problem that's going to be taken care of very quickly or already has been taken care of. We plan on just keep doing what we're doing. When it's popular, one project that we want to work on, I don't know if you're familiar with this area or not, but the St. Clair River, which is right on the border. The middle of the river is the border between the United States and Canada. Well, we live right on that border, not actually on the water, but on the American side. We're planning on doing this summer, some recordings where we're generating tones from one side of the river, which is about a mile, using loudspeaker horns, shooting across and recording them on the other side. This is basically just an experiment, depending on the environment, what's going to happen as far as echo, whether it'll be more humid that day, whether it'll be warm and clear, will all be a factor on exactly the sounds that we produce. We also wanted to go to other places, be it shopping malls and stuff, and just start doing more environmental kind of experiments with sounds and incorporating those in our next project.
Well, I do have one more quick question.
All right.
Have you done any work with video?
It's funny you should ask that. I work for a company which is actually now an audio-video company, and we have a video production department which are very enthusiastic about Rod's and my project. We were going to be doing a live video just prior to this coming out, though it has not materialized as of yet. We do want to dwell deeper into that and start doing. A lot of people have come with us with a lot of really good ideas, so I would imagine and almost 100% say for sure, yes, by the end of the summer they would be some type of a video project done.
Okay, well, keep us in mind with that, because I'd be more than interested in seeing some of your work visually as well as audio, as hearing it audially.
Well, great.
Orally. Well, that about wraps up the interview.
Okay.
If I'd just like to thank you both, Chris and Rod, for answering the questions and talking to us. Hopefully the listeners will appreciate it as well. And let me get you to give me your address real quick.
517.
And that